Hello, everyone. This is Tika Lark Lowe with Public Intellectuals Radio. And today we're going to have more of a conversation. I've invited my friend John 1969. He's some guy on the internet. No, he's actually more than that. He says he's addicted to Facebook, as we all are. He's also selling some used books on public intellectuals. Another thing is a great, interesting fact about John. I think I met John about like 20 years ago online, and then we just kept popping up in each other's circles, and it's really bizarre. I think I've known you the longest of all of my internet associates.
Are you serious?
Actually, yeah, I think I have. I think, well, and I kept in touch with you. We haven't gotten mad at each other. You know how the internet works. You can be friends with somebody, you're like, yeah, they're canceled. You know, we're talking about Generation X. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
I've been canceled.
Got a ghost
by,
permanently.
Yeah. I've been canceled by so many people. You're like the only person that hasn't canceled me yet. But we're working on that. We're working on that. But we were talking about Generation X, or both members of Generation X. And you had this really interesting comment. You said something that we are the monopolist generation we abused, took advantage of the DIY spirit to make people like work for us. Like something like that. You said something like that.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, in a way it's fairly weird because we were so into the whole, I'm independent. I don't want to be part of the man's thing. And we almost kind of like on the down low became the man. But before we get all the way into this, what is one of the defining moments for you for as a Generation Xer? What's a defining moment?
Oh man, I never thought about that. I mean, probably Processed World zine. That was like it. It's this anarchist scene. I guess a lot of anarchists would say that it's individualist or kind of selfish or self-indulgent or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was a zine of people out of San Francisco, a little older than I was. I was like a teenager. And they hated work. They were like anti-work. They hated work. They liked to waste time at work. And I was like, yeah. You know, I mean, I didn't hate work, but I don't know. My mom had, you know, shitty job and everything. So I was just like, yeah, this is the real future right here. To avoid the pain of work as much as possible. And so that's kind of like my life, which is why I'm kind of fucked up. But hey, right.
No, I understand. I hate work too. I mean, the whole, it was like so weird because remember this, it was this whole thing that we were going to like not be able to have a job. We're going to do worse than our parents. And I remember I was literally like that person that was working at a coffee shop. I was like such a like Generation X cliche. I was working at a coffee shop and I remember when the ice blendeds first started. And I remember telling someone, if you want an ice blended, you better go to McDonald's. I don't do that here. I think I said that. Like, I literally, like, and I was like, I wasn't even trying to be funny. I was totally serious when I said it. Like, oh my God. Like, now I'm like horrified. But I mean, I'm thinking about the whole, the zine culture, the individualism. I don't want to work. Everything sucks. But I'll tell you one of my defining moments. The space shuttle. Remember when the space shuttle crashed, like not crashed. Yeah, they exploded.
Yeah, I remember that vividly. Oh my God.
I remember, you know, I'm a little Catholic school girl and I'm in class. And I remember we were like, because back then when the space shuttle went off, like not went off, but when the space shuttle went off into space, people would watch it because by the time we came around, it was like, this is just easy hat. Nothing bad can happen. I remember saying, oh my God, it blew up. And I remember the nun looking at me like, be quiet. Why you have to always be negative?
What?
It literally did. I mean, clearly we know now it actually did blow up. I wasn't being negative. This did not help in my whole like, doom is happening. I'm right. You're wrong. Like, this is kind of like, that just totally fed it. Like, I was just like, I was right. See, like, oh my God. Which is not necessarily good, but you know, they called us like, you know, latchkey kids.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, people didn't care about it, the MTV generation, et cetera, et cetera. What do you think about that? Like, do you think that's like part of our culture? Like, were we MTV or Generation X or what?
Well,
like,
I didn't have cable, so I mean, we had Video One, I think, is what we had, and Night Flight. But yeah, I think it's kind of true. I mean, it was like, there wasn't a lot of stuff to do after school. I mean, there was some, but you know. And so, you know, a lot of kids just went home and that was it. And then did whatever the fuck they're going to do. Am I allowed to cuss on here?
You can. I think the thing is so bizarre. It's like, we were like the test group. Like, can you leave people alone and will they not do anything? Oh, like, how far can you push not having rules? Like, it's like weird. Like, I felt like every rule that got enacted was because of us. Like, you can't leave kids alone. We need to have zero tolerance in the schools. You can't just let them do whatever they want. Because remember they had that song, you know, if you're under 18, you won't be doing any time. Hey. I felt like that was all for us. Because even when I started working with children, I was like, you guys are a lot less bad than we are. What happened to you? Why are you so... obedient? But okay, so they say that Generation X are like the group of people between like 1965 and 1980. So we're gonna agree with that definition, right? For now, we're gonna agree
with that. Okay, I would go a little bit further back, but that's, you know, that's fine.
You go back to like what year?
I don't know, 58, maybe, something like
58.
That.
58. I guess in a way, you know, but though, something like that. I think the thing is, that's kind of like with the Zennials. Zennials, I always said, are fake. Their Generation X doesn't want to accept that they're middle aged. Yeah. There would be people in like 1975 to 1980. Like, I'm right on that cusp of those people that are like, I'm not really old. Like, we missed like some of the best parts of being Generation X. Like, the people who were born in like the early, the 60s, like 1965, 64, they got to experience the classic 80s. Yeah. Whereas I just got to be like, I can't wait till I get older. And then I had the 90s. Like, oh, really? Are you serious? Like, I felt like that was so Generation X to like be the 80s, but not be able to actually be the 80s.
Yeah. Like, you miss the start of punk. And then even post-punk is kind of over with. And even the beginning of hip hop is kind of past. You know?
That's what I'm saying. The millennials, like I said, I kind of don't want to say that, but that's kind of like in a way where you're trying to like put the end of the baby boomers onto Generation X, because really, are they really part of that kind of like 1950s, 60s culture? They missed all that. So they were little children.
They were exactly. Like 11 or something. You know?
So maybe there should be like a part between a baby Xers.
Yeah. So where did the Zennials start then? Is that like
Zennials are like 1975 to 1980.
Oh.
Or yeah, some people say shitty. 1977 to like 1982. But I think once you start going to the 80s, you're totally a millennial. Even though I have friends that are like, I have a friend who was born in 1981 and he keeps trying to like act like he's like me. I'm like, be quiet, child. You're a child. You're not the same as me. I have no idea who you are, but you're not what I am. But you know, something interesting is that you kind of talked about the zine culture, which we were both pretty part of, whether it be creating zines, but we were actually part of an actual kind of a new style of zine, which isn't necessarily a zine, just a website. It was new at the time, like LA East Side. We both wrote for LA East Side.
Because
LA East Side start because we were upset with Metro Blogger because they wouldn't stop being racist.
Which one was it? It was one of those like.
It was Metro Blogger. They wouldn't stop saying illegal, and we kept saying, "Will you not do that?" And then they said, "Well, we'll let you be a token." Would you like to be a token person of color writer? And back then, you couldn't get bought as easy. So we were like, no, we don't want to be a token.
Were they even paying?
It's just like now.
That's what it was.
Yeah, it's just like, you could be our token for free so people can stop calling us racist. Because that's when we hadn't actually perfected canceling yet. We were just like beginning the, we were starting how to do the canceling, but we hadn't perfected canceling quite yet.
It was individualistic canceling. We didn't have the collective canceling strategy at all.
No. We didn't have to. Twitter wasn't like, I mean, Twitter, I guess Twitter wasn't really a thing. Twitter wasn't a thing. I remember when both you and I started like online, I have to say, wasn't it like LiveJournal? There was no, was there even a Google at this point? I don't even know. When we met, was there a Google? Or were we
I don't think there was.
There
was no, I don't know. I know there was, well, I don't remember if it was on LiveJournal or what. I mean, it was like blogging. I don't even think blogging had really started. Where you'd write into the webpage. You know, I mean, I was uploading shit.
No, I just remember too. I remember building websites.
Yeah.
Like back then, I remember like
uploading.
Building, and I remember getting, I remember AIM, and I remember getting, I remember AIM, and I, no, ICQ.
Yahoo Messenger, I think, was another
one. Yahoo Messenger, ICQ. And I remember having, and back then, like, I feel like I invented flaming. I would get mad at people, but I would actually go to the library to show I was right. I would go to the library and write a thousand word essay with and I would sort my, cite my sources, like, and this is from this magazine, because I was really anal. And I was anal and angry, and we didn't have Facebook and Twitter, so we had lots of free time, because we also didn't have jobs.
And there was no Wikipedia, and there was nothing else was online. I mean, was like,
No, it wasn't, but I'm going off topic now. We were talking about, anarchism, libertarianism, individualism in regards to politics, DIY, like, why do you think that happened, because I've been around the anarchists for a while.
I got a theory. The Soviet Union ended, and that's typically all this energy would have gone into one like Trotskyist sect or other, or maybe those RCP or something. Like, there'd be that, and then there was like there was like this big left right during the Reagan era that was all about the Sandinistas and the, what else was there? The Philippines. Like, those are the two biggies I remember. Liberation theology, all this stuff. Like, it was, and that was kind of a continuation of the 60s, right? Mm-hmm. It was the same people. Mm-hmm. And so it was pretty, it wasn't huge, but it was in the LA Weekly and all these, and I think it was also in the Village Voice, and it was a thing, and Reagan came along and basically, went out to kind of destroy that. Mm-hmm. And I think he succeeded, because you look at television and stuff in the 80s, and it was just like, oh, we will now erase the civil rights movement. And it's over with. They're just going to be real quiet about this secret war in Central America or whatever. Anyways, all that stuff is going on. Yeah. And then I think then the Berlin Wall fell down and Russia vanished. And at that point, it's like, suppose you're young, right?
Yeah.
And you're pissed off and you're like a leftist. Like, where are you going to go to? Right?
Yeah.
USSR, it does not, I mean, I think they poured some money into organizing out here, but I don't think they were, they're over with, right?
Yeah.
And they're not so cool anymore. They're not cool.
No,
right?
No.
And then like, I don't know the deal with China. Nobody cared really, although they were obviously getting huge, but nobody cared. And I guess it was, they were like their leftist sect, like booster would have been RCP.
Yeah.
Right. With Mao and everything. But Mao wasn't even in it now. It was all like Deng Xiaoping, and they wanted to become the world's factory.
Yeah. Which
they totally did.
But that actually happened.
Thanks to companies like Apple,
Exactly.
Thanks to Silicon Valley, basically, right?
Yeah.
China got really huge. And not just them, but I mean, they made a bunch of cheap stuff too. So it was kind of over. And what's left? It's like, well, a big chunk of the left was anarchist, and it kind of always has been. And they just kind of kept chugging along with the zines. You know, I mean,
well, no, I mean, I almost felt like the reason why the whole anarchist thing happened was because, especially with Generation X, it's because we were kind of blocked from anything else. Like, okay, like you said, you know, who would have traditionally funded the left wasn't there. We weren't going to, the Democrats, that wasn't going to happen. We weren't going to, but the thing is, they weren't even recruiting us. They weren't even recruiting us. They were just kind of like,
They weren't even trying.
They're just like, screw you guys. Like, you know how now they're like, we need some millennials. Like, that didn't happen with us. They were just kind of like, you guys are weird and you're not enough of you to even, there's not enough of you for us to even bother to market to you, to try to recruit you. We don't care what you do.
Nothing.
And I mean, almost like they almost created a monster. Because we became this whole, screw you, screw everything, destroy. I mean, I was really much, I remember being an anarchist and being an individualist and essentially saying I didn't really care what happened because the system was broken, but I wasn't going to be part of destroying it, but I wasn't going to be part of fixing it. And I was just going to work on myself. I mean, I remember like really actually, and I remember thinking like, oh, and you know, another thing too, that was interesting is that we were kind of like the first, this is like the first African-American group of people that were kind of like, well, they call it, we were like the first free people, of course, you know, when people weren't in the United States. But as far as African-Americans, we were kind of like the first group of, for Generation X, we were like the first group of free Black people. Like, there was no official laws or rules that racism was real. I mean, we knew it was real.
True. Yeah.
And I mean, I have to tell you something. I know you're going to probably think this is completely outrageous, but I was just like, I thought racism was just in theory because I had never really experienced it. I mean, I don't imagine my surprise now, like, oh my God. And especially too, we're, you know, Los Angeles, I know Los Angeles also all this problem, but it's way different than the East Coast. And also too, before gentrification, I don't know how it worked in your ethnic enclave, but in my ethnic enclave, you did not see cops. Like, we had the thin blue line. So before, if your neighborhood wasn't getting gentrified, you never saw cops. So we never even had, like, if you're kind of like in this middle class section of the Black community, you're never gonna see the police. So it's because like you're almost policing your own neighborhood. You're almost in your own. I just remember when the 1991 rebellion happened. They were so, my neighborhood was so proud that it didn't burn. You're like, look, and they showed like all these like super respectability politics, Black people, like, we didn't burn our neighborhood. But our neighborhood was like really weird because everybody, all of our businesses were like Black owned. Like, they were all like, our neighborhood was like actually like a Louisiana neighborhood. And so everybody was from New Orleans. So the liquor store, the dentist, the doctor, all the houses, everybody's from New Orleans. But like fourth generation, like third generation. So,
wow.
So we have this weird
together.
Yeah, so I had this really weird, that's why I'm saying, I didn't know racism was real. I remember at some point in college, I was like, I'm clear. I'm embarrassed now, but I'm like, I keep it real. I just tell people like, this is my whole process, how like I went through it. But now we're gonna like move on to, because I mean, I think your you know, how this happened in regards to, it's kind of a combination of both of what we said. Like, there was nobody there recruiting us. So we just kind of like built this monster, which became Elon Musk, Jeff Yang, Yahoo, Jack Dorsey, Twitter. I didn't realize Tom Anderson was like in our age group. Tom Anderson, MySpace. Andrew Wilson, Electronic Arts. I don't, other people, do you know?
Oh, I just added some people to that list, but.
Yeah, I know.
You know what? I got to go back a little bit. I'm going to rewind a little bit about the 80s and racism.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
It's I experienced a lot of racism.
Mm-hmm.
but not from the government, right? It was like Nazis and stuff doing all these hate crimes. And it was just kind of like, it was a real mind fuck. I mean, it was like, really, like, I didn't even realize the effect it had on me until Trump came around. And then I was like, oh, wow, you know, I'm kind of having these like memories and stuff of going through all that. And, you know, Asian people are not going through that right now, like in the same way at all. But it, I mean, Chinese people are to some extent, but yeah, really like Muslims are going through it right now. And some Mexican communities are going through it now. And I'm just going like, oh, man, those kids are going to get messed up.
You know what, though? I'll tell you something. I didn't remember. I forgot about that. I forgot about really? The skinheads. Yeah, I did. Oh. I forgot. Oh, yeah. Okay, let me explain. Regarding, I was talking about racism. I was like, I guess I was meaning like the way like, oh, you couldn't go to school or you can't go to this neighborhood. I mean, that did kind of happen in regards to, well, you know, I'll tell you something too. As a woman, as a girl, I'm going to have a different experience as like than a guy. Because I remember going over to like Playa del Rey and some beach type parties. I was like in high school, and I remember that one time this black guy almost got beat up.
Wow.
And I was like, I shouldn't hang out here anymore. And then I just blocked it out in my head.
Wow. But
now you made me embarrassed, John.
Yeah, think... no, I got plenty of those. I got plenty of those things where I'm just going like, oh, I forgot about that.
You reminded me like, oh yeah, I forgot the skinheads. Those were a thing back then.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I mean, where my neighborhood's at, it's like mostly Mexican and and Asian, right? Mm-hmm. So, and it turned out that it was kind of a partly whites only area for a while, and then these developers went in and built area, and it was also like Mexican areas, some of them, but not really all of them, right? So it was kind of like, oh, these streets are brown and these are not, and all that. And so developers made like kind of ethnic streets. So there was like this Japanese American street I was living on, and I didn't know that's how it was created. I mean, it's completely illegal to do this now.
Yeah,
but that's how it's created. So there was this bubble, and it was sort of, I wouldn't say free of racism, but it was in a lot of ways sealed off from it in a big way. I mean, one is we didn't have that many white people. So,
that right there takes away a lot of stress.
Yeah. And so, and by the time I was about 10, I mean, the white folks, the ones who didn't like minorities kind of split, you know, they left. And so, so it was kind of more easy, I guess. And I didn't really remember like the stuff before the kind of the, you know, childish racist stuff before until I went to work for some baby boomers. And who like to tell, you know, like lightweight racist jokes, I guess. And I just didn't understand the jokes. Yeah. I didn't understand the jokes. And I was just looking like, what are they talking about? You know? And a few days later, it would kind of dawn on me like, oh my God, they're bringing up stuff that maybe I remember when I was about six, you know? And So you have this like, you know, 60-year-old person just making a quip that's like, you know, obviously a joke, but I don't really get it. And then I'm like, okay, I don't get it, but I'm like, okay, whatever, dude, you know? And then later on, a few days later, I go, oh my God, they're behaving like 6-year-olds. So, and they're just in a different reality. And so that's kind of the way I remember those things. I don't remember them, like, you know?
So, you know, I mean, what can we, you know, we have all these people. What are some other bad things that you remember about, like, that you remember about that time that we may have forgotten, or things that we started? What did we start? What horrible things did Generation X start?
Oh, my God. Like, well, let's see. I mean, with the bad things we started?
Or did we not start it? We didn't start the fire, but we just kept it going. to reference the Billy Joel, because I'll keep talking. I don't want to like monopolize a conversation, and I just know that, like, you know, I remember we were talking about cancel culture.
Yeah, I feel like dropping out of things, like I mean, we had like individualized cancel culture, right?
Yeah,
where it was kind of like, okay, I don't like it, so I'm not going to participate or consume it at all. I mean, I did that with like Hollywood movies. And television too. I mean, I pretty much stopped watching television. And It was just like, I didn't, well, one, I didn't really enjoy it. And I was getting all like woke or something when I was in my early 20s and getting really pissed off about racism on TV. And so I was just like, what the fuck, you know? So, and it was pissing me off. So I just was like, well, maybe I should just stop watching it. And I felt a lot better afterwards. And I was like, oh, all right, well, we'll just kind of keep going with this. And then 30 years later, I don't know what the hell was on TV.
And, but this is also goes to the election. I'm like, I think in a way, because Generation X wasn't part of politics, it got pushed so far to the right, we ended up with Trump. I think us not participating actually got us Trump. I think if Generation X had been more involved in the political process, I think, I mean, am I giving us too much credit?
I think you're kind of right, because I'm seeing, yeah, I see all these like old anarchists and stuff. Some of them are going kind of right wing.
That is just so, that's the whole thing. It's just so, we like checked out so much. We're like out of touch with reality. And like, I mean, even, I even think that how our businesses, how we plan them, we're not thinking about how people actually live. And we're kind of creating these bizarre systems based on this weird individualist idea. And like, if I feel like we need to like come back, even though that we, I mean, we got pushed out. I mean, to be truthful, whatever, I feel like we got pushed out because we weren't a big enough demographic, and we create this kind of like, I think like wonderful, but also frightening culture.
Yeah, yeah. And it maybe, was like this alternative, like parallel culture that was really similar to the mainstream, but was different too, right? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, small, like, you know, small record labels, you know, like.
Well, yeah, we were like all the, I remember like, it was so funny. Zines. I remember we didn't like Amoeba Records. Like, now we're sad that it's gone, but we thought Amoeba was like, they're posers. I'm like, like, we didn't like them. Yeah. Remember? We didn't like anybody. Yeah. And now they're all gone. We didn't like Barnes and Nobles. And now people are like, oh, I'm sad. We didn't like Borders. We said they were too corporate. We didn't Starbucks.
I like Borders. Okay. Yeah, I'm a sellout on that one.
No, I actually did. I actually worked at Borders for a moment. I worked at the coffee section. I worked coffee everywhere except for Starbucks because I worked for Coffee
Bean. I was too cool for Starbucks.
No, I'm like, no, I'm not wearing that. I'm not wearing that outfit. And I mean, I think that's, you know, it's, I wonder, was Starbucks, I'm like, that's Baby Boomer, definitely. Baby Boomer started Starbucks for sure. But I, you know, in 2028, apparently, I looked up this fact that said that there's actually going to be, we're actually going to finally be more of us than Baby Boomers. They're going to actually die. Enough of them are going to die that there should be more of us. Wow. Which is going to be really bizarre because our number was really small, so look how long it took for them to die. I mean,
and then how many of them? I mean, how many years are we going to get? Because we have like worse healthcare than they do. We're going to be like worse.
Well, apparently, we're going to get all the money. That's what they said. They said that Generation X is going to get all the money that the baby boomers have left, so that we're going to be better off financially than millennials. Because we're going to get apparently, but I think they're just talking about white people.
I'm like, how long? How long is that going to last?
I don't know if that could account with us necessarily.
Well, we'll have the wealth tax pretty soon, I think. It'll be like,
yeah.
They'll be like, oh shit, here's all the baby boomer money combined with the Generation X money. Everybody's penniless, and you know there's more millennials, and so that's not going to last too long. It'll be like over with. We should just be really prepared to go along with that. Just go along with that and be like, yeah.
I think we should. I think that's just why I said. We should just be quiet. I mean, I wish my hear these baby not baby I hear Generation X kind of going, we exist too. I'm like, shh. Don't let them know that we're here. It's fine. Yeah. Pretend like. Yeah. Pretend like, you know, we're we're not here. Like, I think that's good. I think it's great that we don't exist.
Yeah, just get the Social Security be fixed up, the baby boomers. We'll just kind of ride on that one, just like we tried to ride on the career of the baby boomers and basically failed. But
yeah, they wouldn't leave their jobs. It's ridiculous. They would not quit. These baby boomers were just like, I'm gonna be 70. I'm gonna keep working. I'm like, damn, are you gonna leave at some point? And by the time they got like old enough to retire, they're like, we need a millennial now. I'm like, oh, come on, are you serious? Like they just skipped right past us. Like, but I mean, I don't know if I'd want to be a millennial or Generation Y. I mean, don't they have like I remember somebody saying they couldn't get into like Cal State, like Fullerton, or remember like when you were in school and we were in school, they had built all these schools for like, you know, colleges for baby boomers. Yeah. So essentially by the time we came along, it was like, okay, where do you want to go to school? And you just went.
Yeah, you can go anywhere.
You just went. Like, they had to play the game. Like, yeah, it's really hard getting UCLA, UC Berkeley. You got to be really smart, but really they needed us.
Nah, I was 3.5 student. I got into UC Berkeley.
Yeah. They were by
GPA. You know?
They were kind of like, but now it's like, you gotta be like, it's not that many spots. And there's like not too many kids, but there are more people. And so it was way more competitive. I remember my cousin didn't get into like, my cousin went to this really tony all girls private school. And she didn't get into like, and this is no disrespect to Cal State. I think Cal States are a great institution, but they used to be kind of an easier school to get into. They weren't as competitive. And she didn't get into Cal State Long Beach. And I thought that was madness. I'm like, what?
Whoa, really?
Like, you didn't get into Cal State Long Beach? Like, that's like a safety school. That's kind of like, because it's, number one, it's a huge school. It's huge.
Yeah,
it's Cal, like 30,000
people or something.
Yeah,
like that,
how can you not get into a school that has 30,000 people? And then, like I said, I understand there are a lot more millennials now, so I'm not even like judging anybody by that. I'm just saying there were so few of us. There's maybe at least 8 times more millennials than there are Generation X. So
holy,
I want people
moly
to understand, because I know that they're,
oh
like,
my God,
because baby boomers, there's 4 times more baby boomers than there are Generation X. And
wow, I didn't know that. That's scary.
And generation and millennials outnumber baby boomers. So that's what I'm saying. I want people to understand like how small and insignificant Generation X is and why they would just ignore us.
Because, oh my God. Yeah, we barely exist.
Yeah, financially we don't really exist. We're not a market.
Yeah.
And then like politically, that's why when I have friends that always complain about, we can't change the system, the Democrats, I'm like, you know what? No, Generation X couldn't change because we're too small, but millennials actually could change it if they wanted to. I mean, that's true, but unfortunately, but I think that the kind of like negativity that Generation X has in regards to politics, I'm like, that's not going to apply to this generation. There's so many more of them. They actually can vote people out, and they don't even need that much participation. Just half of them. And they could essentially run this country.
Generation X, I mean, a lot of people are saying things like, yeah, electoral politics just doesn't work.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
but it's not going to be the same with this generation just because it's just not going to, because it's just so many more of them. And, you know, while white men, who even the ones that are millennials, are still voting crappily, the rest of the population is not. And I think, you know, on the positive side, I feel hopeful in that way. But what do you think, you know, just to kind of wrap this up, what do you think Generation X can do in regards to making things better?
That's a tough one. I mean, I like millennials. I mean, that's like really what it comes down to. I like their politics. I like their optimism a lot, because I don't have a lot of that. I mean, in the big overall picture, I don't.
Yeah.
So, and you know, they're going to have more success than, like, especially in politics, but in a lot of things, like, just because the numbers, you know.
Mm-hmm,
I look back and I look at like, okay, man, the boomers seem to have everything, and they could do great things, and then they could do really shitty things, but mm-hmm. it would always just kind of happen, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
I look at the arc of like Rolling Stone magazine or something. I'll go, man, that's pretty cool. But then it turned into like real garbage, you know, and just really mm-hmm. annoying. And I was just like, well, that's just kind of their paper. And they were just so huge that everything that was kind of their goal, it just sort of happened. And I feel like the millennial generation, it's going to be the same thing. And yeah, hopefully so, just try to kind of keep them in the, you know, try to keep them from like falling into this thing with sort of the nihilistic individualism that Generation X does. We've got to kind of try to let go of that, the mm-hmm. sarcasm and the, I don't know.
I'm trying not to be sarcastic anymore.
It's hard.
But I try not to do it because it's like, you know, it's unproductive. Thank you so much, John, for talking with me today or this all evening. Right. And I'm sure we will talk again soon. So thank you all for listening. You guys have a great evening or morning or afternoon, whenever you're listening to this. Have a great day, guys.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.